In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
God, merciful Father.
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Innocents is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, for you, O Lord, are my hope.
Upon you have I leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from.
My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Then I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, who suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
While the world is moving on from Christmas, and retailers are already gearing up for St. Valentine's Day, the Christian church lingers in the Holy Festival. For Christmas is a 12-day feast, and today is the fourth day of that feast. And though this is a time of celebration and joy, today is nevertheless a bittersweet day. For today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, the infants who gave their lives as a ransom for the ransomer. The Feast of the Holy Innocents is a stark reminder that we Christians who remain in this veil of tears are at war. We do not yet belong to the church triumphant, that Jerusalem the golden we sung about to begin divine service today, but we remain in the church militant, constantly at battle, even as we sing praises for the peace on earth which is ours in Christ. The war in which we're engaged is already won, to be sure. Our Lord has crushed the head of the old evil foe by becoming incarnate in our flesh, living in our flesh, dying in our flesh, rising again in our flesh, and ascending to rule over all things in our flesh. But, as in any war, there are casualties. Even in triumph, there is the sounding of taps. Even in victory, there is mourning for those who gave their lives for the cause. And this cause, dear brothers and sisters, is greater than any worldly state or political battle. This cause, the cause for which the Holy Innocents died, is the cause of the final defeat of all evil. Satan fought desperately to try to extinguish the light of the world, the very fire that will eventually burn him. The devil sought to commit divine infanticide and thus deny salvation to the world by extinguishing our only hope. And though the angel of the Lord warned Saint Joseph, the guardian of our blessed Lord, to whisk mother and child away to Egypt for safety, Satan's wrath still raged against the infant boys of Bethlehem for the sole reason that they had commonality with our Lord. This is the root cause of Satan's rebellion and hatred of God, namely that God would become man and elevate humanity to equal standing with God. That man, humanity, would be above the angels, and that angels would serve man. Thus, from the beginning, Satan, that fallen and rebellious angel, has sought man's destruction. He is no fan of man. He is not an ally of man. He is the one who wants to destroy man. He cannot destroy God. So he has focused all efforts on destroying the apple of God's eye, humanity. We see this already in the Garden of Eden when he goes after Eve and Adam. And he continues that vengeance to this day, trying to hurt God, our almighty creator, by hurting the apple of his creation, man. And so on that terrible day in Bethlehem long ago, Satan had a ready ally in the evil king, Herod, who became furious when the wise men didn't return to him and tell him where the Christ child was. He wanted that information not so that he could go and worship him, as he said to them, but so that he could go and kill that child who was said to be born to be king. This is the same evil Herod the Great, who was so filled with the lust for power and wealth that he had his own sons and other members of his family murdered just to eliminate the possible threat to his rule. So it was not at all out of character for this evil man to give this evil order to have all the male children 2 years and under in Bethlehem and in that whole region put to the sword. In this way, Herod was truly a man after Satan's own heart. And when this evil and atrocious plan was carried out, we're told that what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted because they are no more. But Satan and Herod, along with all other evil men drunk on power, always forget that the war they're fighting is over, and they have lost. For there is more to that prophecy of Jeremiah. Even though the grieving mothers in Bethlehem refuse to be comforted because their children are no more, and what mother would want to be comforted when she has just lost her baby? Even though they refuse that comfort, they have the promise of the Lord that their children shall come back from the land of the enemy. That their hope is, there is hope for the future, for their children shall come back to their own country. In other words, neither Herod nor Satan have the last say regarding these infant martyrs. Even though these children were to become casualties in the ancient belligerence between God and Satan, these children are promised not only a resurrection, but a renewed life in the nation of God's people, in that Jerusalem, the golden, we sung about. They will be reunited with their mothers and their ancestral mother, Rachel. Their sacrifice is not in vain, nor will these youngest of soldiers ever be forgotten in their ultimate sacrifice for their king and his kingdom. It is easy when we think about this, when we ponder the great evil of Herod putting these babies to death, it is easy for us to question why the Lord allows any casualties in this battle, especially these kinds of casualties. But the Holy Church honors her martyrs by the thousands and tens of thousands. God's ways are certainly not our ways, his thoughts not our thoughts. We cannot fathom God's will or discern why he chose in his infinite wisdom and mercy to recall these little warriors from their mother's breasts and take them to himself all too soon. All we can do is praise God for his glory and thank him for securing this victory for them and for us. And this victory is secured for the holy innocents of Bethlehem and for us by having the babe of Bethlehem escape the wrath of Satan and Herod. The Holy Family goes to Egypt to wait out Herod's bloodlust, returning to Nazareth only when word is brought from the angel that he has finally died, so that another prophecy might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. The holy innocents of Bethlehem had their blood shed as a sacrifice for the one who came to shed his blood as a sacrifice on the cross for all. They die to satiate Herod's lust for blood so that Jesus could escape and die for them at the appointed time. For that is why he has come, to die, to shed his blood, but not until the time has come. While we call the male boys of Bethlehem who were put to death by Herod in allegiance with Satan the holy innocents, that is only so because the only one who is truly a holy innocent, our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled his plan to save them and us. Their innocence is truly his innocence. And it is our prayer as we confess each week that we would receive grace and mercy for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is indeed only in light of this gift of salvation, through the atoning death of Christ, and in the certain hope of the resurrection, that we can be joyful and thankful for these holy innocents whose lives continue to testify to the malignance of Satan, but goodness of God. For as vile as the serpent is, the one who continues to tempt us to doubt and fear, the seed of the woman is greater and has crushed his head. For the seed of the woman is the Passover lamb who has come back from being sacrificed and now, according to the holy apostle John, is standing on Mount Zion, not lying in death nor humbled and kneeling, but standing, along with those having his Father's name written on their foreheads, holy innocents of Bethlehem included in that vision. As are all of those who have been baptized into the name of our triune God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and kept in the one true faith. Even in the time of Christmas joy, even as we sing a new song unto the Lord, let us not forget that we are at war. There have been and there will continue to be casualties. We will have hardship and sufferings, as do all soldiers and men under orders. We will even often find ourselves disengaged from the battle or even under the spell of the enemy. We don't even like to consider it a battle, but would like to put all militant language aside and pretend that the church is a place only of peace. We will often forget that we are in the world but not of it. We will fall prey to Satan's temptations and satisfy our fleshly desires, for the old Adam in us is every bit a ready ally to Satan as was King Herod. Not only, dear friends, are we at war with the devil and the sinful world around us, but we are even at war within ourselves, which is why our Lord continually calls us to repentance. The baptismal life is the life of daily repentance and faith, daily drowning the old Adam in us so that the new man may emerge in faith. That's a struggle. The Christian life is not full of flowers and lollipops and nothing but blessings. The Christian life is one in which we daily struggle and have a war raging within ourselves. But even so, let us never forget that the ultimate victory has already been won. The struggle against sin, death, and the devil has been settled by our blessed Lord, the holy innocent of all holy innocents, who fights for us, who prays for us, who atones for us, and who makes us to be without fault before the throne of God. Thus, we who bear his name, we who had the holy cross sealed upon our forehead at holy baptism and continue to have it sealed upon us each and every time we come into his holy house, we are the victors, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and by the washing of regeneration. The holy innocents were likewise washed in the Lamb's blood, and it is he, the Lamb, the Redeemer, the King, the Son of David, the Son of God, called out of Egypt, who has won the war and declared eternal peace with God. For the holy innocents of Bethlehem, for us, and for all who are baptized and believe now and unto eternity. It is he, the Lamb, the eternal Word of the Father, who resides eternally in our flesh and blood, and who gives us to eat and to drink of his eternal flesh and blood in the Holy Supper, that prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies of Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh, that we would be cleansed and made to be holy innocents in his kingdom, which has no end. All thanks, praise, glory, and honor be to the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Church, that all who have been baptized into Christ may remain in the one true faith, always returning to the source of their faith, even the Christ child, their Redeemer, who comes to them in the manger of the Holy Cross, that they may be fed and nourished and strengthened to the end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we may boldly shine the light of Christ into the dark lives of those we know who do not know or love him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, that our leaders may serve faithfully and wisely, making God-pleasing decisions and walking in integrity, and for our citizens, that they would hold all life precious from the womb to the grave and work toward the protection of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick and those who suffer, and especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Ella Shaw, Marlene Miller, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Tyler Duvall, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schau, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Boffman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, Jack Strandon, and Jane Tennant, that they might be surrounded by God's love in Christ and healed according to his gracious will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who mourn, that the comfort of the resurrection might fill their hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they would receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all our brothers and sisters who have departed in the peace of faith, let us give our thanks and ask that we be brought with them to see at length with our own eyes him who is the light of the nations and the glory of Israel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so
truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with the holy innocents and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you. thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The very body of Christ given for you. 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 very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.